Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on the 16th day of May, 2018. I'm delighted to have two first-time guests on the program today. The first hour, we are going to have Dr. Robert Doom, missionary, evangelist, pastor, and publisher for over 40 years, and director of Revival Literature. He is going to be addressing missions and holiness. Why are converts overseas rejecting the doctrines of sovereign grace? And then the second hour, we're going to be having Dr. Erskine Dodson, God willing, director of global missions at Oasis of Hope Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. And he's going to be addressing the need for a global mindset in the prayer, support, and missionary efforts of the local church. And both of these men are going to be speaking this weekend at a conference in Virginia, and we'll be telling you more about that in a little bit. But first of all, it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron, Dr. Bob Doom.
Well, certainly my great privilege to be with you, and looking forward to the interview today and, of course, the conference this coming weekend.
And I just received an email from a listener in Illinois who said that as a comic book fan, he's excited that I'm interviewing Dr. Doom.
I get that frequently with the young people. They love, and of course, it's a Western Kentucky name, all right? So, German origin.
Well, it's obviously, in the minds of many, very appropriate for a Calvinist to have the name Doom.
Well, appropriate for a Christian to have the name Doom. I've got a message of life.
That's right. Amen. Well, before we go into our discussion, as I typically do with first-time guests, I'd like you to give a summary of your own testimony of salvation, the religious upbringing you had as a child, if any, and what were the providential circumstances our sovereign Lord used in your life to draw you to himself and save you?
Well, of course, my folks coming from Western Kentucky were religious, and they made sure that we were in church. And I came along in 1938, and there was still difficult years after that depression. And so we lived on a farm outside of Indianapolis ourselves, near a place called Wanamaker, Indiana. And really the beginning of God's whole dealing with me began in that church where I professed faith in Christ as my Lord and Savior at an early age and followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I've often likened my conversion to that of Lydia in Acts chapter 16, and the scripture said, "Whose heart the Lord opened." Now, if I had my preference, I'd rather have the earth-shaking event of the Philippian jailer. But God dealt and in mercy with me and saved me. And my folk moved around a lot in that area of Indiana. My dad worked on the New York Central Railroad. And we got out of good churches in the process of moving. And some providences in my family's life. My two older brothers passed away, one with a brain tumor and another with a hit by a car on the street there. And I ended up in Martinsville, Indiana, And while I was at an engineering school in Terre Haute, Indiana, Rose Polytechnic it was back then, God used a verse in the book of James to call me to preach. James, but be a doers of the word and not hearers only. And, of course, being in a church that was corrupt, we weren't getting any food. And my dad said to me when I came home from a liberal school, when are you going to go, and he mentioned Bob Jones University, when are you going to go to Bob Jones University and learn how to preach? Because he's raised in Kentucky and was used to preaching, you know, and couldn't stand this fellow that my mother was taking us to. So, again, the power of the Word of God, a scripture text repeated over and over in a basement, as I remember, there in Wanamaker, Indiana. God sealed that to my heart and began really then getting into good churches. And my life was characterized, but as I heard truth, I obeyed it. And I never forget going to that church my dad wanted to go to, and the pastor was preaching on the new birth and from John 3. And so it's just been a course of continuing to follow the light of the revelation of God. And thank God for the beginning of God opening my heart as a child, and then God continuing to break light upon me through the preaching of the word. So I bless his name for the pathway thus far.
You know, when you were giving your testimony, I immediately began to recall Charles Haddon Spurgeon's testimony of salvation when he walked through the doors of a primitive Methodist church in London seeking escape from a blizzard and seeking warmth and shelter, and he heard a man who I believe was just an ordinary member of the church substituting for the pastor, who just kept repeating some scriptural verse, and the Lord used that to open up his heart, mind, eyes, and ears, and saved him as a young teenager.
Right. It was from the Old Testament, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth."
That's right.
God, and there is none other. Spurgeon said he looked till his eyeballs almost fell out. God had been dealing with him in conviction power and brought him savingly to Christ. Thank God for converting us early, you know, and keeping us out of a lot of sin.
Amen. And well, how did you, as a Bob Jones University student, come to the doctrines of sovereign grace? Because at one time, it was, I think, outlawed, wasn't it? or they were outlawed, the doctrines of sovereign grace?
Yes, well, you know, really, as I was a student there, I appreciate what I still was privileged to sit under Dr. Bob Sr., who said, whatever the Bible says is so. He'd repeat that in every sermon. And he was repeating most of his sermons, but I remember hearing him preach. And so my point of reference of anything was not what Dr. Such and Such said, but what the Word of God said. And so as we went to Scotland as missionaries on an evangelistic team, first of all, and were endeavoring to evangelize there in the border area of Scotland, the area between Scotland and imaginary border between Scotland and England, my father-in-law was the late James Stewart, and he had delivered the lectures on evangelism the year I graduated from Bob Jones. And it was very interesting that one of the books that he had written, really a little booklet, called The Lordship of Christ, first of all delivered me, because we were then, when I went back to labor full-time, we had an evangelistic team holding tent meetings, mainly for youth and young people. He had written a little booklet called The Lordship of Christ. And he wrote that when he first came to America in 1938 and 39 and saw that already the evangelicals were losing the gospel and going to what was called then either easy believism or only believism. And his strong statements there in that particular book, or in fact, we're just getting ready to reprint an eighth edition of it. He quoted Brother Spurgeon, and Spurgeon said, if a professed convert says that he knows the will of God and does not mean to attend to it, he said, don't pamper him in his presumption. tell him he's lost. For God doesn't save folk to continue in rebellion. This is me now, in the Spurgeon's quote. But to submit continually to Christ as their Lord. And so it was, an opportunity of continuing to submit. And then eventually we moved to up to the city of Edinburgh. We were living in Berwick-on-Tweed, which was in England in those days. And I did a lot of open-air preaching, and I used to make a statement in the open air that I knew that if somebody challenged me about it, I wouldn't know how to answer it. After we would preach, I would make this statement. I would say, now God's done all he can do for you. And, of course, I was waiting for somebody to come up and say to me, you've got an awful puny God. If but instead of quit and stop saying it, just again through reading the scriptures, and then there's a book by Brother Bettner that put the pieces together. And
Lorraine Bettner?
Lorraine Bettner put the pieces together that I was seeing in the scriptures then, brought me to understand the doctrine of grace. And at the same time, God was gracious because we'd had some summer teams come across, and some of the young men on that particular summer team had come across from BJU, also had come to understand the doctrine of grace and were sharing that with my wife. I guess I thought I was a wild man. They couldn't share it with me. So at the same time, God was breaking the truth of grace on her heart and breaking the truth of grace on my heart. And so then before we established a Baptist church there in the city of Edinburgh, God brought us to understand fully that salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And all in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And, well, I know that there is a connection between you and the church where I am a member, Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, because the pastor that was the pastor of Grace Baptist Church for the longest period of time, 40 years or more, Walt Chantry, wrote a classic work titled Today's Gospel, Authentic or Synthetic. Can you tell us about your relationship to that book?
Yes. We have a literature minister here, as you've mentioned, Revival Literature, and we were burdened at the 300th anniversary of the First Baptist Association here in America, which would be the Philadelphia Baptist Association, and we were burdened to send out the Philadelphia Baptist Confession of Faith, along with some other booklets to as many Baptist pastors as we could get the names for. And so that ended up to be somewhere around 73,000-74,000 packages of books that we sent to pastors across America and even into Hawaii and of course, up in Alaska. And one of the books that we put in that, because we wanted to make sure that we had a correct emphasis on the gospel, was Pastor Chantry's book, I'm having a senior moment here.
Today's Gospel, Authentic or Synthetic?
Yeah, Today's Gospel, Authentic or Synthetic. And, of course, with that, we put the Philadelphia Baptist Confession of Faith. And then my father-in-law had written a little booklet called Biblical Salvation. And in that little booklet, he showed that the only evidence of saving faith is a changed life. And so we had a lot of feedback from pastors across America, particularly because of the small compass of the little booklet, Biblical Salvation. I remember a pastor from the West Coast calling me and said, this explains what's happening in our church here. So we have people converted, and they don't want to be baptized, and they don't come back. Well, of course, they didn't get converted, because God puts a heart in a person to be baptized and puts a heart in a person to want to go hear preaching.
Get Amen.
Cheap food. Amen.
In
so
fact,
that was our contact with Brother Chantry in that very vital book, you know, and we thank God for that privilege. We also had some booklets on revival and then, of course, the Bible issue. And so we sent these out to over 73,000-74,000 pastors here in America.
Well,
because we offered them free copies for their Bible studies or our Sunday school classes or whatever else. And so it became a bigger ministry, and we were grateful to have that opportunity to share again the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen. Well, you'll be happy to know, if you don't know this already, a very dear friend of mine, who's an Orthodox Presbyterian today, and has been for many years, actually. He is a fellow graduate of Bob Jones University, was a non-Calvinist, perhaps even anti-Calvinist, and the book that you just mentioned by Walt Chantry, Today's Gospel, Authentic or Synthetic, was used of God to lead him to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace, which he has embraced for decades and continues to embrace. And I'm always delighted to hear stories about that. I know quite a number of people and have met quite a number of people who were students at Bob Jones University who have become believers in Reformed theology in spite of its history of being hostile towards those teachings. And my friend Bill Shishko, who I just mentioned, when he was asked once, how did you become a Calvinist going to Bob Jones University? And he said, well, Bob Jones University taught us to study the Bible, and I did. So there you go.
And that's the same testimony I have. Whatever the Bible says is so.
Amen.
So if you keep that emphasis, that's a good emphasis on the authority of Scripture, isn't it?
Yes, amen. Well, tell us now about revival literature. You mentioned it there about distributing Today's Gospel, Authentic or Synthetic, but tell us a little bit more detail about revival literature.
Yes, revival literature was birthed out of the ministry of my father-in-law, the late Dr. James Stewart. In fact, my senior year at Bob Jones University, he delivered the lectures on evangelism there, and that book is presently out of print. We're just getting ready to get it back in print here, hopefully in the next 2 or 3 months. We've been working on a new cover, et cetera, called Evangelism Without Apology, which, again, was a tremendous book. And we've had Bible colleges using that particular book, Who Love Grace, as well. But he was a unique man. He started preaching when he was 14 in Scotland. And his mentor was a brother from Northern Ireland, Tom Ray. Tom Ray said to him as a young evangelist, Jimmy, if they invite you to come for a meeting for less than 4 months, don't go. They don't mean business. And I think that in our great declension, whether it's whatever kind of church it is in America, we've developed a mentality of not wanting to go to the house of God. And I know I was preaching a meeting up in, for example, I was preaching a meeting up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and we're talking about the subject of revival. And, of course, to back up a little bit here, James Stewart then went on as a young man to get a burden for Eastern Europe, and God used him as an instrument of revival in Eastern Europe, in the countries of Czechoslovakia, Poland, Hungary, before they went behind the Iron Curtain. We publish a book, which, again, is currently out of print. We're going to reprint it, called Revival Behind the Iron Curtain. And so he was being used as an instrument before the communists were taking over that area of Eastern Europe. And many of the pastors who were converted under his ministry there lived to suffer and stand for Christ in the face of communist persecution. And so we say their books written on revival, they're different because here's a man that God has used in awakenings, you know, and saw the movings of God in different countries. And certainly that's our great need in our own beloved Constitutional Republic now, is a national moving of God.
Amen. I want to give our email address for any of you who would like to join us on the air with a question for Dr. Bob Doom of your own. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And also, tell us something about this conference that you're going to be speaking at this weekend. I know that you and Pastor Joe Jackowitz and Dr. David Dickerson and Dr. Erskine Dodson, who is our second guest today, during the second hour are all speaking at this conference in Virginia. If you could tell us something about this conference, especially about what you specifically will be speaking on.
Yes. This, of course, is going to be held at the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Dale City. I believe it's Silverdale Avenue is the address there. And, of course, those folk have had a great history of contending for the faith themselves. And at the same time, not only have been contending for the faith, but have been propagating the faith. And so we're looking forward very much to be with them in this missions emphasis. Starts on Friday night. I believe the first service is a choir at 7 o'clock, and then on Saturday and Sunday meetings, I believe, commencing at 9:30 in the morning each time. And so I'm going to have the privilege of speaking on Sunday on the subject of stewardship and missions. And, of course, God touches the hearts of his people to support biblical missions. And what a privilege it is to be involved in obeying the Lord's command of going into all the world and preaching the gospel. But he also commanded us in Luke 7, 38, 39, I believe it is, give, and it shall be given unto you, a full measure, pressed down, shaken together. For with what measure ye meet, God shall meet again unto you, turn back unto you. So we're looking forward, of course, looking and to listening to these other brothers. Of course, Brother David Dickerson and I are close friends. He's actually a secretary of Global Baptist Missions, another ministry we have here, and an ardent supporter and a burden for revival. In fact, we held we were in a meeting in the church that he had near the Atlanta airport that went on for 4 weeks every morning and every night. And my oldest daughter was converted in that meeting. And, of course, she's a graduate in nursing from Bob Jones University since then. And his burden for missions and is very evident, and the college that he directs is a very they do have some foreign students, but the only way they'll receive a foreign student is they have to guarantee that they will go back to their country and preach the gospel. So he's had a great influence and with the truths of grace throughout the world as well. So we're grateful to be able to hear him, and I'm looking forward very much to hear the brother from Indianapolis, Indiana. I have not met him. That's my home state. I was born in that town, was just up there at Martinsville for a 50th anniversary service of a church that came out of a tent meeting between my junior and senior year. Another preacher boy and myself from a Baptist church in Franklin, Indiana, held a tent meeting, and out of that came a Baptist church, which has celebrated its 50th anniversary. So we're grateful, looking forward to these new men. I've never heard Brother Jacob preach either, so I'm looking forward to hearing some of these men I've heard about, known about, but haven't had the privilege of hearing to preach myself.
Yes, I have had the privilege of spending some time once for several days in Indianapolis myself, and spent some time with my dear friends Dick and Karen Eisenhart, who live nearby, and look forward to at one point returning there. Well, let's move into our topic for the day. It is, or at least for the first hour, Missions and Holiness, Why Are Converts Overseas Rejecting the Doctrines of Sovereign Grace? And you had mentioned to me before the program that you are saddened by what you have seen overseas, perhaps especially in Russia, where although you are obviously rejoicing that people are coming to Christ and getting saved, there is some pushback or even out-and-out rejection of the doctrines of sovereign grace that have been also nicknamed Calvinism, Reformed theology, the doctrines of free grace, etc. Tell us about this situation in Russia.
Yes, of course, one of the ministries I have the privilege of directing is the Russian Bible Society, which was founded by an exiled Latvian who was trained at Spurgeon's College in London from 1903 to 1907. And he caught fire in the Welsh revival himself, and then established three large churches in the former Soviet Union, one in, what is again, St. Petersburg today, that's what it was then, but it had a name change twice, and then one in Moscow, and then the third one was in Riga, Latvia. And to answer the question that you're particularly zeroing in on, there are approximately 5.5 million Russians here in America, and so there's a great Russian population to be evangelized, and there's some large Russian churches, both coasts. I think some of the larger ones are on the West Coast, because I think many of those Russians there came at the time of the Bolshevik Revolution, you know, to USA. And, you know, some church buildings seat 2,000, the only language heard in the congregation is Russian throughout the service, you know. And I had the privilege of making contact with churches over in this area of Western Carolina. And through that, I spoke with a pastor, a dear pastor, who's actually from Moldavia and is fluent, of course, in Romanian and Russian. Romanian and Russian. Moldavia is the tongue of Romania is the tongue of Moldavia. And anyway, I'd gone over to meet with him, and because I was concerned that we have about 2,000 Slavic folk here in the Asheville, North Carolina area, and as far as I could tell, I could not find a Russian-speaking Baptist church. So I had it on my heart that somehow or another we might be able to team up, and if not, help support a young man to start a Russian Baptist church here that was not charismatic or Pentecostal. And so anyway, I met with this pastor. I asked my secretary to give me a name of some pastors, and this church is a large church. Actually, has 5 pastors there. And interesting enough, none of the pastors receive a salary. The attitude of the Russians is still the same as it was in Russia. It's a privilege for you to preach, so why should we pay you? And a tremendous congregation. And anyway, I had the privilege of going to his home, and we were just sitting there at the table, and he said to me, because I had given him, I don't know if it was that visit or another visit, I had given him a copy of the 1689 Baptist Confession. And he made this statement to me, "Brother Doom, I'm not a Calvinist, because Calvinists do not believe in holiness." And I said, "Dear brother," I said, I must confess, brother, that I'm trying to move away from the word Calvinist, because John Calvin and Martin Luther and Zwingli, all of them persecuted our forefathers and murdered some folks. So I'm not interested in. I'm not of Paul. I'm not of Apollos. I'm of Christ by God's grace, you know. So I said, "Well, no, brother, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him." I said, "Those folk who do not believe in holiness, who are professed Calvinists, are probably either hyper-Calvinist or part of the whole new Calvinist movement that's scorching America right now, which is a false system of theology that doesn't expect and demand holiness of heart and life from their converts, you know." So it opened up an interesting conversation with him, you know, because they understand that the gospel is a life-changing message. And so if it doesn't produce holiness, they're not concerned to try to go on and just play church with this situation, you know.
Well, we have to go to our first station break. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for Dr. Bob Doom, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. I also want to make sure that you get the information for the conference coming up, and I will be repeating this, but the conference coming up this weekend, you can go to firstlovepublications.org, and if you scroll down, as far down as you can scroll, you will see a box in the middle of the screen that says more information. You click on that, and you'll be directed to all the details that you need for the conference this weekend on missions. But we look forward to hearing from you and your questions for Dr. Bob Doom after these messages from our sponsors, so don't go away.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
And that is the man that Dr. Bob Doom and I were just discussing, or at least I was telling Dr. Bob Doom about him, Pastor Bill Shishko, of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, Franklin Square, New York, now retired and now hosting A Visit to the Pastor's Study. And I hope you begin listening to that program if you don't already. And it is being added to the lineup at First Love Radio, one of the ministries under the umbrella of First Love Publications and First Love Missions, founded by my friend Pastor Joe Jackowitz, who is also a mutual friend of my guest today. Dr. Bob Doom, and also a fellow speaker at the upcoming missions conference this weekend that is being held in Virginia. And once again, go to firstlovepublications.org, scroll all the way down to the bottom, click on more information, and you will be directed to the website that has all the details that you need for this conference being held May 18th through the 20th in Virginia at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. And that is located in Woodbridge, which is in Dale City, Virginia. Our topic today for the first hour, as many of you already know, is missions and holiness. Why are converts overseas rejecting the doctrines of sovereign grace? And we could basically include that globally, including here in the United States and North America, because it's not only an overseas phenomenon. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Before I go to any of our listener questions, Dr. Doom, in my experience, now you have a lot more years of experience as I do. I was only saved in the mid-1980s, but in my experience, people are typically rejecting the doctrines of sovereign grace because they are rejecting something that's a figment of their imaginations that isn't even historic in representing, what we believe as those who claim to be believers in doctrines of sovereign grace. It seems that there are a lot of people, if not the majority that I have met, the vast majority, who are anti-Calvinist, quote-quote, anti-Reformed, anti-doctrines of sovereign grace. They are merely parroting what other anti-Calvinists have said before them. You could tell very often that these men have never read the works by the actual heroes that historically and accurately represent the doctrines of sovereign grace. Would you concur with what I said, that would be the majority of the problem, or would you disagree at all?
Well, I think you're right. I think that, again, I think that to give a positive side of why they reject it is because of a lack of personal holiness sometimes among those who propound that this is what they believe. You know, and of course, the gospel is a holy-making gospel. And we're reminded in the book of Hebrews, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I think it comes across sometimes in the lifestyle, but it's not only. I think that the underlying thing is, of course, they have been taught against it. I know I'm in an area of North Carolina that has had some moves of God, even back in the 50s here, and you know, the folk love the whole Bible, and many of the preachers will preach truth, but if you try to put it into a system for them, they'll reject that because they've been taught against. And that's why I said I'm rejecting even the use, I think, of the word Calvinism, the word Baptist, first and foremost. I'm a Baptist, first and foremost, you know. And so I think that's part of the rejection, is because they don't see holiness of heart and hand in some who profess it. And then second, they've been just taught against it, just like you mentioned. I do appreciate the great emphasis I received at BJU on evangelism, and still love to sing the hymn I sang in Preacher Boys, Souls for Jesus is my battle cry. And so I think sometimes they also equate what we believe with non-evangelism, you know. And so I think that hinders the cause, because we certainly know the commands to holiness and the commands to assemble ourselves together in a church house. Also, there are commands to evangelize the lost and the undone. So it would be great to see more folk who love grace out preaching in the open air, you know, and even some, I don't think door-to-door visitations finished in America, you know. So I think it's a twofold thing. One, they've been taught against it, and then sometimes, just like you say, it's been ignorant rhetoric they've heard, and a perception that's not historically correct and biblically correct.
Right. Well, regardless of whether or not you approve of an attachment to the name of John Calvin, he has certainly been slandered and caricatured and misrepresented. I can still vividly remember a very popular, world-renowned evangelist that is connected with Calvary Chapel. I can still remember hearing him on the radio station that I worked for 15 years, saying that there are people out there who believe that you can come to Christ, be saved, and then live like the devil for your entire life and go to heaven. That isn't in the Bible. John Calvin made that up. Well, that's obviously ridiculous. John Calvin said nothing even remotely close to that, which was reflective of the fact that the man saying this never read a page of the Institutes or anything else Calvin wrote. Never read the Puritans, obviously, and probably overlooked the fact that Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the great heroes of Sovereign Grace Baptists, was indeed a full-blown five-pointer in regard to those doctrines. And so the issue is that the doctrines of the false Christianity of easy believism and cheap grace that teach that a person can live an unrepenting life and a repentant-less life, can live immorally without any ongoing evidence of repentance and grief and mourning over sin and so on, without any ongoing evidence of allegiance and love for Christ, albeit imperfect, this is not a possible belief when you tie all the doctrines that we cherish together. I mean, isn't this true? I mean, especially when you look at perseverance and preservation of the saints. If you could comment on that.
Yes, well, you know, I guess I can illustrate it. I was here in Western Carolina, went to a Kmart, and the gal had some scripture tattooed on her arms. And I thought, well, that's unusual, and of course that's unscriptural. But to have scripture tattooed, and So I made a comment. I said to her, well, you know, I'm a saved Baptist. She said, a saved Baptist. I said, there are two kinds of Baptists. There's saved Baptists and lost Baptists. And I said, the saved Baptists have a changed life and want to worship the Lord and enjoy his fellowship and love assembling together with his people and love to study the Word of God. And she said to me, very quickly, oh, don't you believe in once saved, always saved? I said, ma'am, I do believe in the security of the believer, but what you're stating is an unbiblical statement. You see, a person becomes a possessor of eternal life, and that's the life of God. That's a changed life. And then I offered her a gospel leaflet, and she said, I don't want your tract. And I think that characterizes a lot of folk in our area who say, well, I'm saved, but there's no evidence. And, of course, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the great scripture touched on there, isn't it? For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and all things become new.
Amen.
But that would be perhaps the attitude of, and we meet that all the time. My father-in-law used to say, he lived here in Western North Carolina, he said, don't ask anybody if they're saved. He said, ask them, have you been supernaturally born again by the person and the work of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
And if they say, huh, well, you know they don't know what salvation is.
Amen. Born from above.
Yes, sir. Exactly right. Born again.
You reminded me of a conversation I had many years ago, back in the 1990s, with an old preacher, a reform preacher from Mississippi. And when he found out that I was from New York, he said with his very gravelly accent, he said, you got it easy being in New York. You just got to get people saved. We got to get them lost and then get them saved.
He's exactly right. Just about everybody here, and of course we're in a real, in our particular area, we have a real invasion of hell in our beautiful mountains here. And we've had the craft breweries move in by the truckloads and the sodomites and the transvestites and all of these things that are a godless, devil, a God-hating Supreme Court passed, and so we're in a real cultural conflict here in Western North Carolina, and so it's very interesting, you know, that you have both crowds who many times do not just know of true salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ.
We have a listener in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Ted, who says, regarding the lack of enthusiasm for Calvinism in Europe, might it have something to do with the truism that those who most vigorously proclaim the doctrines of grace are precisely those least likely to demonstrate that grace to their Christian brethren and to the world? Well, I don't think that's really a truism myself, because I've seen dead, cold, hateful, mean-spirited attitudes from Christians across the spectrum, or professing Christians across the spectrum of doctrine. I've had that treatment against me and my Sovereign Grace believing brethren from Arminians and those of varying stripes of anti-Calvinism. But if you could respond to that yourself, Dr. Doom.
Well, you know, it's always been puzzling to me because, you know, we have contact. We print sometimes in Germany, and we have contact with some German Baptists there. And, of course, most of the German Baptist churches are Armenian, you know, in their theology. And the same way with most of the continental churches. I don't know if it's a backlash, and it could just be an evidence of the natural heart that they don't want God quite to be God and do what he wills with a soul. And, of course, that doesn't negate our responsibility to tell every sinner that there's a Christ who died and call them to repentance from sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so I think, of course, most of it probably flows out of, for example, we were missionaries in Scotland. They're about 25 years ahead of us in their acceptance because of the brainwashing of the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, and the public schools. And so their rejection of God and then the public schools have done their number on you can do it as well there, you know what I'm saying? So again, when you're brought face-to-face with the sovereign God who demands that you meet him on his terms rather than your presumed terms, then the natural man rebels against such a theology, you know, and that God will do with his creatures as he wills. And he works all things after the counsel of his own will.
Well, get a little bit more detailed about the current state of Scotland. I know that breaks the hearts of many people, even if they've never been there, who love the doctrines of grace and many of their heroes that have edified them in writing, many of them long gone from the earth and fellowshipping with Christ in eternity. But their hearts are broken to learn that Scotland has declined so far from a day when the doctrines of sovereign grace were flowing from that country. If you could tell us about this.
Yes, again, I would attribute that mainly to the fact that there has not been any recent cultural changing revivals. You know, Wales probably had the most revivals, and then followed by, of course, Scotland, and then we're probably third as to the frequency of real, genuine revival. And I don't know. I think that part of it has been the public school system, and part of it has been the television, the media. But, of course, the biggest thing that's happened in Scotland in the last year since we were there, I know when we were there for the first time, the Church of Scotland officials had a march with the Roman Catholics in the city of Edinburgh.
Wow.
And one of my friends, who actually pastored a Sovereign Grace Church in Glasgow, was walking along beside the moderator, and he said to him, Judas had his candlelight procession. And,
wow.
And of course, then since that time, they have rejected, of course, the Westminster Confession of Faith as their standard. And to illustrate it quickly, a dear friend of ours, we had two bookshops in Great Britain, one in Belfast, one in Edinburgh. And when we left that ministry over there, we turned over to a Scotsman. And he had a friend come into his bookshop there in Scotland. And the fellow said, "I want to talk about my church." He said, "Are you in the Church of Scotland?" He said, "Yes." He said, "What are you doing in that apostate thing?" He said, "I don't want to even talk with you." He said, "Well, I want to talk about my minister." He said, "Well, I really don't want to talk about this." He said, "Well, it's a woman." He said, "Well, why are you in a church where a woman's up?" He said, "What's wrong with you?" Well, she's got a child. He said, "Well, that happens, you know." He said, "Well, she's just had a second child." He said, "Well, that happens too." He said, "Well, what's the deal?" He said, "She doesn't have a husband."
Wow.
So here's the declension. And then another Sovereign Grace pastor in the city of Glasgow, I just talked with him within a month or so ago here. We published a couple books, one book that he's written on prayer. Said the political parties have been taken over either by lesbians or by sodomites, the four political parties in Scotland. And so, you know, what our government has set us up for is exactly what the British government set themselves up for, you know.
Yeah.
But again, the only answer is the church getting thoroughly right with God, individually being filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in the Holy Ghost, and seeking the face of our God who's been gracious to send us revival. That's our only hope, as far as I can see. It'll always be the element God will use if he turns us again, we'll be preaching. God raise up another John the Baptist or John Charles Spurgeon or somebody else, amen, to call us back to Christ.
Amen.
And that's the declension I see, you know, there in Scotland. It breaks my heart because it's a declension since we were there, you know, in the 60s.
Well, we have to conclude our interview now because we need to go to an elongated break that Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us. So we have to be off the air for the first hour by 54 minutes into the broadcast. But I want to make sure our listeners have all of your information. Revival literature can be found at revivallit.org, revivallit.org. Do you have any other contact information that you care to share?
Well, it's actually revivallit@bellsouth.net would be the contact information as well. Okay.
Oh, the email address, yeah. Okay.
Yes,
the
email address. Have a toll-free number, 800-252-8896, and certainly it's been my privilege to be with you on the broadcast. And will we get a chance to see you? Are you going to be able to come to the conference? Or
no, not this time around, but I will, God willing, be at something in the future, because I know that Pastor Joe Jackowitz, one of your fellow speakers there, he and I are involved in a lot of things together, especially now that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is on the roster for First Love Radio. So, God willing, I will see you at some point, but if not this side of glory, we'll meet there in eternity.
Amen. What a glorious Savior we have to go and see. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dr. Doom.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
My pleasure, brother. And don't go away, folks, because we have joining us momentarily after our elongated break. We have a Dr. Erskine Dodson, who is also one of the speakers at the upcoming Bible conference in Virginia that we have been discussing, that Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Woodbridge, which is Dale City, Virginia. Please don't go away, and send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. God willing, we'll be back after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations,
including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in Culinary Arts and Applied Science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. They man that phone line Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you call and they don't answer, there is no voicemail attached to that number. If you call and they don't answer, just call back the next day, if it is a weekday, during those times, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, you can always order 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, online at cvbbs.com. If you order $50 or more worth of merchandise and you mention Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you will receive free shipping and a free book. And keep listening for details on the new books that they are offering for free when you order $50 or more. We are going to be joining our second guest for the day momentarily, Dr. Erskine Dodson, who is the Director of Global Missions at Oasis of Hope Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, who is one of the speakers, along with our first guest, at the upcoming Missions Conference at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Woodbridge, Virginia. That's this weekend. But before we return to our program and greet our second guest, Dr. Erskine Dodson, I just have a couple of more announcements to make. First of all, the Banner of Truth is having their U.S. Ministers Conference in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania at Elizabethtown College, May 29th through the 31st. I intend to be there, and I hope to meet many of you in the Iron Sharpens Iron listening audience at this conference. The theme is Ministers of Christ, and speakers include Alistair Begg, Johnny Gibson, Mark Johnston, Al Moeller, David Strain, and Craig Troxell. If you would like to register, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then click on 2018 U.S. Ministers Conference. Make sure you click U.S. Ministers Conference and not U.K. Ministers Conference, because they have several U.K. conferences, one, in fact, just recently completed in the U.K. there. So make sure you click U.S. Ministers Conference to be directed to the right information. That's banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. Click events, and then click on 2018 U.S. Ministers Conference. Please make sure you tell the Banner of Truth that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in urgent need of your donations and advertising dollars. Many of you who have listened to this program going all the way back to 2005 when we first began this program in New York, many of you know that I never for years made any public appeals for donations. And my advertisers who pay hard-earned money to keep this program on the air have urged me for so long to do this that I finally caved in due to the necessity if we are to remain on the air. So please, if you love this show, you don't want it to go away, go to ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. And you could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by clicking click to donate now. As I try to remember to remind you every day, don't ever, ever siphon money out of your regular giving to the local Bible-believing church where you are a member. If you're not a member of a local Bible-believing church, then you need to rectify that situation. If you're not prayerfully seeking for one, you are living in disobedience to God. So if you need help finding one, give me an email at chrisarnzen@gmail.com and ask me to help you find one, because I have lists of faithful Bible-believing churches all over the world, actually. And I have helped a number of our listeners find good churches. So please never siphon money away from your local giving that you're accustomed to your local church. Never take food off of your family's dinner table or put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to this program. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and for your family. Providing for my show is not a command of God, obviously, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and home, you love this show, you listen to it every day, you share the free MP3s with your friends and family and loved ones, you write in questions and win free books, well, then please help us to remain on the air by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, or you can mail in a check the old-fashioned way to the snail mail address that is provided when you click support. And if you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're advertising is compatible with what we believe here, you don't have to believe identically with me, but as long as you believe something, or at least you're promoting something in your advertising that is compatible with what we believe, doesn't militate against what we believe, then we would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we truly could use your advertising dollars. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. That's also the email address, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. where you can send an email to our guest, our second guest today, Dr. Erskine Dodson, Director of Global Missions at Oasis of Hope Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. He's going to be speaking during this final hour of the program on the need for a global mindset in the prayer, support, and missionary efforts of the local church. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Erskine Dodson.
Hello, Chris. It is a pleasure to be on your station.
Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to this interview and many more. Before we go into your personal testimony of salvation, since you are a first-time guest, tell our listeners something about Oasis of Hope Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oasis of Hope Baptist Church, they have been in existence for about 50 years. It is a good, solid Bible-teaching, preaching church, and they have a strong passion for mission. And I was the pastor of Trinity Baptist Church for 14 years. I did church planting in upstate New York for about 20 years. But about 3 years ago, God led me to step out of the senior pastorate position and begin to start in global ministry. And our primary focus is training Christian leaders, especially pastors and church leaders, within their cultural context, indigenous leaders, equipping them to do the work of the ministry. And Oasis of Hope gave me a call and said they have a passion to do exactly what I am doing, and would I come and oversee their global mission. They have been a tremendous help, a tremendous blessing, and have propelled this gospel in various countries in Africa, the Caribbean, and the southern part and the northern part of India.
Well, I know that your website is get2oasis.net, and that 2, by the way, is the number 2, the numeral 2, not the word. Get2oasis.net, and I love the film when you click on the website of the person walking in the sand. It's pretty impressive there.
Yes.
And tell us, if you could, about what you will be personally speaking on at the upcoming conference on missions at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Woodbridge, Virginia.
They had given me the topic, preparation for mission. Preparation for mission. And I want to deal with three basic areas. First of all, authentic conversion before God. Authentic testimony before the people of God. And authentic training for the mission of God.
Great. And the theme of the entire conference, the overall or umbrella theme, is Missions God's Way. And for more information, you can go to First Love Publications, their website, and that's firstlovepublications.org. Scroll all the way down until you get to the middle of the screen at the very bottom that says More information in a rectangular box. Click on that, and you will be taken to the website that has all the details that you need for the conference this weekend. That's firstlovepublications.org. Scroll all the way down to more information, and we will be repeating this, God willing, before the program is over, because we want as many of you, especially those in the Virginia area, to attend this conference, if at all possible. Well, now, as we promised, let's hear a summarized version of your testimony of salvation, the kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in, if any, and what the Lord used providentially in his sovereign plan for you to lead you to himself and save you.
Sure. I grew up about 2 hours south of Woodbridge, the Dale City area, at the age of 8. I was baptized in a Baptist church. I had never heard a clear gospel throughout those 20-some-odd years, but I became very committed to the church. As I was committed to the church, I began to sing in the church with my mom. Ultimately, I began to teach Sunday school. I went off to college in Durham, North Carolina, and met my wife. And I told her, as we began to develop a friendship, I said, if you want to hang with me, you have to be a churchgoer. And she said, I had been reading the Bible for 12 years, I do go to church, but I am not a Christian. I was not a Christian, but I did not know I was not a Christian. So I was in church every Sunday, and I shared with her. I said, Phyllis, if you want to be a Christian, you have to act like me, observe me, mimic me, because I know I am a good person. And about 2 weeks later, she came back and said, Erskine, I've been watching you, and I don't see any difference between you or myself. Well, we still began to court, and ultimately we got engaged, and we started working for, we finished college and started working for Internal Revenue Service in D.C. We got married at the age of 21. At the age of 24, still in church every Sunday. I started teaching Sunday school in Northern Virginia area. Started reading the scriptures for the first time systematically, and then all of a sudden I began to sense this emptiness in my life. And I told my wife, I said, neither one of us was still saved, but we were in church. I'm singing in the choir, I'm ushering, I'm being very much involved in church. And I sensed something was missing. We had just built a nice house. I was working as an accountant for Commerce Department in D.C. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know what it is that's missing in my life, but I'm going to fast and pray because I see that that's what they were doing in the scriptures. I'm going to fast and ask God to show me this emptiness. So she said, well, I'll fast with you. So we fasted without food or water for 3 days. The day we came off the fast, three people came up to our door from a church in Dale City, and to make a long story short, led us to Christ. And it changed our life forever.
Praise God. Now, I haven't established this yet. This is the first time I've ever interviewed... I have a hard time speaking today. This is the first time I've ever interviewed you. But I'm assuming, although I might be wrong, that since you are speaking at this conference at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, that you are a fellow believer in the doctrines of sovereign grace, but they might have you there for just the specific expertise you have in a certain aspect of missions. I don't know. But are you a believer in the doctrines of sovereign grace?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the seminary that I attended, they were a sovereign grace school. I got, Pastor Gifford was my pastor. He's the pastor of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church now. But I got the call of God under his ministry. And as I got the call of God in his ministry, I went off to seminary and became very, very convinced of God's sovereignty in our salvation and in our life.
Well, praise God for that.
I hold to the doctrines of grace.
Amen. Well, praise God for that.
As a matter of fact, we established a church in upstate New York, and the name of the church was Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in the inner city of Syracuse, New York.
Oh, great. Is it still in existence?
Still in existence. Still in existence. It's been over 30-plus years, and they're doing well.
Oh, praise God for that. Well, the theme that we have chosen today for our discussion is the need for a global mindset in the prayer, support, and missionary efforts of the local church. I know that this is something that you lament over because you think that it is a issue that is sorely lacking in the church at large, even, dare I say, within the African-American church at large. If you could comment about this need for a global mindset.
Absolutely. I think all too often in our Bible teaching churches in general, it seems like mission is gradually slipping from the mind and hearts of people. People will pray for mission, but as far as understanding the need and having a compassion and a burden for missions, I see that it's been very difficult oftentimes to get into even Bible teaching, preaching churches to even share your burden. Share the heart. And in the African-American community, there is a tremendous lacking, and we have many churches called Missionary Baptist Church. But in terms of our budget, finances, because we need to promote, we need to propel, we need to give, and we need to go. But all too often in many of our African-American churches, you don't have that strong desire. You may have social programs. You may have a giving of clothing and food, And those things are good. And we're not saying that if a person is not hungry, you don't feed him. But when you think of the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all ethnos, all people groups, and baptize them, and then teach them. That's the discipling part. It's very much lacking in the African-American churches, in many of our Bible-teaching churches in general. If you look at our mission budget is very poor, very low when it comes to supporting missions and supporting missionaries. I think it would be good if a church would really consider having at least 10% of its budget, 10% of its financial giving to go towards mission. I also believe, Chris, that in order to get a burden, you have to be exposed. When you look at Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah inquired, how are the brethren doing? And once he got his information, it burdened him. He wept, he fasted, and he prayed. And God in his sovereignty sent him over there to Jerusalem, and he examined the situation for himself. And in chapter 2, the scripture tells us, Nehemiah said, I have told no one what God now has placed in my heart to do at Jerusalem. But Nehemiah inquired, he got his answer, the walls were broken down, and so forth and so on. He wept, he cried, he prayed, he confessed, and then he went over there to see for himself. One of the things that helped me with global mission, as a senior pastor, I started taking short-term mission trips to Ghana. About five different countries in Africa, Tanzania, Liberia, just teaching in the college, or doing some preaching, being exposed, and I saw tremendous need. People will say, well, there are plenty of needs here in America, but if you go to developing countries, you will see that there is a vast difference. We have Bible colleges and seminaries and Bible-teaching churches and Christian radio stations, Christian bookstores, and we are inundated with so much Christian literature and materials and preaching and teaching. If we want it, we can get it. But what we do, I just got back from Uganda. We go in certain places way out into the bush where you have men that are pastoring, men that are preachers and church leaders, have no way of even getting to your cities like Kampala and Uganda and various places just to get some kind of training. So we actually, when we go to East Africa, we take the classroom into the villages. We have a four-year curriculum, a three-year curriculum, and a one-year certificate program. So that, I think, is a real need in both African-American churches and our Caucasian churches as well. Be exposed.
Amen.
Quiet.
Amen. We have a listener from Hartsdale, New York, Bobby, who asks, are you familiar with the work in Zambia of Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, who Chris Arnzen has had as a guest on his show a number of times, and he has lamented that the Word of Faith, Pentecostal, and Charismatic movement over there in Africa is infinitely more dangerous than what we experience here on the shores of North America. Do you concur, and have you met and cooperated with this brother on evangelistic efforts?
No, I have not met him. I was in Zambia probably about 15 years ago when I was a full-time professor at Crosswoods Bible College, and they sent me over there to do some teaching and training for a week, but no, I have not met this brother. I do know the doctrine of Pentecostalism and so forth has become very pervasive in various parts of Africa. Even a good number of Baptist churches are becoming, I guess you may call it, Baptist Costco.
Yeah, and as I think our guest accurately summarized what Dr. Mbewe has said about the experiences of, even though the Word of Faith and the extreme forms of Pentecostalism here are bad enough, over there they seem to have even taken on a new level of insanity and heresy that have even combined some of the practices of the witch doctors with just a sprinkling of Christian language onto the practices. Very strange stuff going on there. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Good solid doctrine is much needed. And you find that people want to have some kind of experience, and they want to, they believe they're getting additional revelation from God through experiences and through gibberish, as the many will call it, tongue. And there's this prosperity gospel, and there's this laying on of hands and so forth. And so there is an experience that people are said they are having. And they said, therefore, it must be of God because I can do this and I can speak this and I can say that. I think of the scriptures. When the scripture says, but Lord, I have done many miracles in your name, that's when Christ comes back to the earth. And I've done this in your name. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And I just want to challenge people, just because you've had some kind of experience, if it's not in conformity to the word of God, you're going to have to say, you know, this is just an experience. We need to have people that are inundated with the Word of God and going to look at the Word of God as the final authority for faith and practice.
Amen.
If we don't do that, we will veer off, and we will veer off based on what we think and what we feel and what we have experienced. And then that becomes the authoritative fact in people's lives.
Amen.
And not the Word of God.
Amen. CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, asks, I hope I am not breaking away from the main topic too much, but I was wondering what your guest's opinion might be of some of the recent hysteria where you have those in the African American community who are even involved in solid reform theology going too far with accusing white brethren of racism for reasons that don't seem to justify a slanderous caricature like that. It seems to be eclipsing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does your guest have any comments, and does he know what I am speaking about?
Can you articulate a little bit more on that?
Well, there are a number of African-American brothers and sisters in Christ who have taken on a mission, it seems, to dissect the wording and the practice of many within Christianity, especially the doctrines of grace and Reformed theology, and they seem to be looking for racism under every rock and accusing people who are innocent of this sin, because I believe that racism is indeed a damnable sin. But it is also damnable to slander somebody for being guilty of it when that they're not. And so it seems to be a phenomenon going on lately that's becoming increasingly uncomfortable, and it seems that these issues of race are eclipsing the gospel, as our listener has suggested. Isn't this, even if you're not familiar with this recent phenomenon, isn't it a very dangerous thing when you focus on the color of people's skin to such an extent that you are really eclipsing the message of the gospel? And it seems ironic, because some of the rhetoric that is coming from black Christians on this issue is really amazingly mimicking some of the rhetoric of white racists, you know what I'm saying? Because they're elevating the topic of race to such a focal point and to such an extreme of level of importance that sometimes it seems like it's a racism of a different flavor, if you follow me.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I do think that there is a group that feel ostracized, and they have, because of very, very negative experience, they have bought into and believe that there is a form of racism that has taken place. And I think also, Chris, that is on both sides. I'm going to be...
Oh, sure.
And I think if somehow, I mean, when my wife and I got saved, we were we grew up on the Jim Crowism. You're familiar with the Jim Crow?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We grew up and we were in an all-black church in Northern Virginia. Well, when I got saved, there were three white people knocking on our door. And they led us to Christ. And they discipled us. And as they were discipling us every Thursday night, I began to sense a desire for more substantive preaching from the pulpit. And I began to search through many churches trying to find that. I did not find good, solid Bible teaching in Northern Virginia and certain parts of Washington, D.C. And finally, we joined the church, which was a predominantly white church in Dale City, Virginia. We joined that church. And after we joined, I began to look around and I saw all the white faces. Now, the music was different and the preaching style was different, but I began to ask myself, what is the big deal with this racism? How is it that we had to be on the back of the bus, or how is it that we could not, because there were blacks that were being turned away from Bible-teaching churches.
Right.
And so my thing is, if somehow, if we as blacks as well as whites are willing to step across the racial or ethnic barrier and begin to build relationships with people on a one-on-one basis, we will begin to see that people are people, and they have the same basic needs.
Yes.
Yes, and there is some diversity when it comes to culture and music and styles and of that nature, but when it comes to the basic needs of physical, spiritual, emotional, social, educational, you find that people have the same basic needs. And there is a concern. There is a concern that I have. I think even in our political arena, it seems like that there has been a great divide, even among Christians.
Right.
And I tell my wife, I said, it would be nice if we would just say, not a black Christian or a white Christian or a black church. Why can't we say, well, when a person got arrested, he was a black man. Why can't we just say a man?
Mm-hmm.
So somehow there is a polarization upon ethnicities in our countries, and there is a pulling away. And if somehow, even if that guy I feel like it's prejudice. Let's step over the barrier and let's see if we can get to know him. So the young man or the man who asked the question is a legitimate question, and I appreciate that. But I do think sometimes we look at a distance at different people of different ethnicities and don't allow ourselves to get closer to them to begin to build a relationship with them. Get to know them, and then begin to have that fellowship. And it's so unfortunate that it's on both sides that we do have that problem.
Amen. And by the way, you might find this alarming since you seem to be unfamiliar with the recent phenomenon that I'm talking about. Some of the white brethren that are being accused of racism, the very reason that they're being accused of racism is for stating exactly what you just said. Because some of these white brethren, like my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, for instance, has said that we need to be colorblind in our approach to the gospel, and that the blood of Christ unites us, and that the color of our skins and the content of melanin in our skins is really immaterial and inconsequential, and that we are all members of one race, the human race. Now, that seems to be offensive to a number of prominent African-American preachers, teachers, authors, and conference speakers. It's amazing to me that that's offensive to them, and they seem to be actually, perhaps unconsciously, mimicking the white segregationist mindset that God made us different colors and different ethnicities because this is a fulfillment of what will happen in the book of Revelation, where those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation are worshiping the Lamb, and that if we remove distinction, that we are heretical. And that's ironic because that is the very thing that many white racists use to perpetuate segregation. So it's a very baffling and confusing thing that I'm speaking about. But
absolutely, and I think a lot of it is out of negative experiences. A lot of it, you know, even our Caucasian brothers as well as our African American brothers have experienced racism, have experienced very bad relationships, adverse situations. But somehow, as Christians, we are supposed to be different. And I think we have to teach it. We have to teach with God there's no respect to a person. We have to teach racism and prejudice is sin. And we have to be an example. We have to be an example and be proactive in seeking to recognize that the gospel of Christ and the Great Commission is for all people. And we are, I mean, you know, the Jews had that real struggle.
That's right.
They did not even go through Samaria. And even in Acts chapter 6, you saw the Grecian widows being neglected.
Right.
Peter had that problem. And even in Acts 10, God had to tell him the third time, Peter, go. He was so inundated
right.
in his culture that he could not hear God speak. And I think sometimes we allow our culture, we allow bad experiences to blind us to what the Scripture says.
Amen. Yeah, in fact, that is exactly what I have said to some of my acquaintances who are perpetuating the lie that a person cannot be a racist if they are black or a member of a minority that has experienced persecution. I have brought them back to the fact that in the New Testament, the most glaring rebuke of racism or bigotry involves Jews being rebuked for being racist or bigoted against Gentiles, and yet the Jews were a persecuted minority, an enslaved and horribly treated group of people since they came from Abraham's loins. I mean, you know, for centuries.
Yes. So we have to recognize the fact that it is something that comes from the heart. I think a man naturally has the propensity to think and practice and believe that which is contrary to God. And I think also, I do believe it can also be passed down from parent to children. My prejudice, my preconceived ideas about people, it's just something that we need to be face-to-face with and address the issue and say, look, to our children, they may be of a different color, a different ethnicity, but they are a person, and you must not allow peer pressure or what people think or say cause you to think differently because they are a human being just like you are.
Amen. And we have to go to our final break. It's a very brief break. And if you'd like to join us on the air before we run out of time with a question for Erskine Dodson, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors, God willing.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the second hour, with about 15 minutes to go, is Dr. Erskine Dodson, Director of Global Missions at Oasis of Hope Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. He is one of the speakers on the roster at the upcoming Bible conference that's being held in Virginia at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Woodbridge, Virginia, which is Dale City. And for more information on that conference, go to firstlovepublications.org, firstlovepublications.org. Scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page where it says more information in a rectangular box at the very bottom in the center. Click that, and you will be taken to all the details that you need about this conference. Dr. Dodson, other than the lack of funding, I should say, in the budget for world missions, do you think that there are just too many churches that don't even care enough about foreign missions to even try to develop a budget for that reason?
Absolutely. There is no question in that area. What I would recommend, because when we think of the Great Commission, we do start in our Jerusalem. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But if you look at Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and ultimately to the uttermost parts of the world. Many churches, you know, statistics tells us that less now than 10% of people really share their faith. And that's really, really, really sad. I would recommend if churches don't have an outreach program. I mean, you don't have to necessarily have a Thursday night's calling program or a Saturday morning calling program. But I think people need to be trained to effectively share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not this easy belief, not this easy beliefism, not this repeating the Lord's prayer, the sinner's prayer. I just personally have problems with people just saying, okay, repeat this prayer and then you're saved.
Right.
You can lead people into easy beliefism. But I do believe that our churches are becoming less and less evangelistic. People are, we are still surrounded by unsaved people, and yet so many Christians or professed Christians don't share the gospel. And I think it should be a conscious, intentional effort when you go out into the world among people, whether it's on your job or your mechanic, you should be praying and or going to the gym. You should be praying and being intentional in sharing a clear gospel message. And I think sometimes people in our churches need to be properly trained to effectively share and defend their faith. Now, if you want to have a calling program where people are going out, I think that is wonderful. That's what happened to me in Dale City. After I got saved and joined the church there in Dale City, I got under the auspices of our outreach minister, and he was going out and taking me under his wings. And I observed him sharing the gospel, but I had a lot of things that I had to memorize and go through before I went out. But I think we need to get back to the basics of sharing the gospel. Oh, it's so easy to say, oh, believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. But you got to go into more detail. People need to know that they are depraved. People need to know that they are wretched, wicked sinners. And people need to understand that Jesus Christ came and gave his life for sinners. And there needs to be a repentance in turning to Christ, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection. And explaining that. So I think we need to start with some of the basic things like that and teaching our people to share their faith. And I think another area that's very important is I think especially pastors and key leaders begin taking short-term mission trips. Because when you take short-term mission trips, a week or 2 weeks, when you take those mission trips, it's going to expose you. Not only in your community, not only in your Jerusalem, and not only in your Judea or Samaria, but it's going to expose you to the world. I go to India, and I teach there in the northern India. About 6 million idols in India alone. And so if we're not willing to share the gospel where we are in our Jerusalem, and if we don't, I personally think if you're not going to be effectively sharing your faith here in your Jerusalem, then you're not qualified. You're not. You need to prove yourself where you are. And when you prove yourself where you are, I believe God says, if you're faithful over a few things, I will make you rule over many. God will expand your borders. God will give open doors for you. But I think, again, in our churches, how can we have a budget when we're not even sharing? How can we have a budget when we don't even see the need? So I think we need to begin to see the need of sharing our faith where we are. I think we need to begin to send other key leaders. I think pastors ought to take short-term mission trips. I think there should be. I mean, I just got back from Uganda, and we just brought, we took four of our people from Oasis of Hope Baptist Church, a Sunday school teacher, deacon, and his wife and my wife. And they were telling me, they said, Dr. Dodson, I hear your slide presentation. I hear you talking about the ministry and the challenge and the difficulties. But, boy, those slides did not do full justice until we came and we saw for ourselves the need the people coming 20 miles on foot just to hear the word. Villages are crying out, would you please come back and teach us some more? No literature, no Bibles, no Bible colleges, no seminary. And so they said, I never saw that. I living here in the West, we are so blessed. So I really think, Chris, that we need to begin where we are, but don't stay where we are. Don't get so comfortable. Don't get in our comfort zone. Just don't sit in our... And another problem we have sometimes is we want to invite people to church. Come to our church. It's a Bible-teaching church. Well, what about inviting them to Christ? Because the church is really for believers. I'm not saying unsaved people cannot attend the church. I'm not saying you don't invite unsaved people. But I think the main thing, we want to invite people to a saving knowledge and experiencing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And so that's a little bit of my passion there, is somehow if we can get people out of the pew and into the areas of the streets or the areas where they live, become extremely intentional. If you pray and say, God, you open the door for me. I go to the gym on a regular basis, and I pray, God, would you open the door? And I tell you, 95% of the time, when I'm at the gym, I share my faith. Sometimes people will just come up to me and just ask or make a statement. Oh, we need more religion, don't we? I said, no, we don't need any more religion. We need people with a relationship, and that's through Christ. You know, God will give you an open door if you ask.
Amen.
Many times, He'll give us open doors, and we our mindset is not there. We are so comfortable in within our churches, with our choirs and our worship teams, and good preaching of the word. And we need good preaching of the word, but then we are content to go home and come back the next Sunday. And we are supposed to go out of that church door with a mindset of global ministry, but starting in our Jerusalem. And I think many times it needs to be taught.
Amen. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, although you are promoting short-term mission trips, do we not have to be very careful as not to send out our young people on short-term missions trips that are more like play vacations? I have heard from missionaries overseas that very often these types of trips that the youth are involved in are more of a disruption than a help to those on the mission field, and very often are wasting valuable financial resources to send these children there when they could be used more positively in other areas. Do you agree with my assessment?
I do agree with that very, very much. I think when we are going to take short-term mission trips, first of all, I think that they should be approved or be vetted by the leadership within that church. Because sometimes people may want to take mission trips, and there may be some serious problems and issues that they're having in their life. So I think especially the pastor needs to approve those that's going to take mission trips, especially if they are going to be ministering. There needs to be some provingness. There needs to be some faithfulness where they are in their local church. I think also when we go on a mission trip, I like to take people to be involved. Once they have been approved by leadership, this person has proven themselves to go on this mission trip, I think that they should be involved. But we need to look at their gifts and their talents. Just don't put them in any place just because there's an open door and opportunity there. Now, they want to go and just observe, that's fine. But they need to understand that we're taking a mission trip to learn, to understand. This is not a vacation. It is rough at times. It is tough. There are some conveniences we have here in the U.S. that you may not have there. There needs to be some kind of orientation. But there needs to be an understanding that this mission trip is not a vacation. This mission trip is to expose you to what the Great Commission calls all of us to do.
Amen. Well, I'd like you to have now about 3 minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners before we go off the air today.
Pray. The harvest is plentiful. Yes, we have needs here in America, but there is a global cry that people need to hear the pure, unadulterated word of God. And Christ says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are still so few. Pray that God will raise up from even your church. Everybody is not called to go. We understand that. But there is a need. So pray that God will raise up more men and women that can be thrust forth into this harvest field. You may not be able to physically go, but you can give. Ministry takes finances as well. A global ministry, just air travel alone is $1,500 to $2,000, not even including hotels. And even when we go to various parts of East Africa, we have to buy their lunch. We pay for their lunch. We have to buy a cow, buy goats and so forth, and cassava to feed them. So ministry takes money. And so I don't like to talk about money. I really don't. But there needs to be an understanding. You ought to look at having a budget within your church for global missions. And you need to pray, Lord, who? You can't support everyone. But we should be, because when you are supporting financially, you're saying, I am partnering with you. Finances is dealing with partnership. Partnership is prayer. Partnership is giving financially. And partnership is sometimes going and helping and assisting as well. So we need to think globally. We need to think more than where we live. We need to go beyond our comfort zone and ultimately to the uttermost parts of the world in a global mindset of praying, giving, and at times going.
And how can our listeners specifically pray for you and your specific missionary endeavors?
Pray for power. Pray for protection. Some places we go to is not Christian friendly. And pray for provision. We're probably right now about 70% of our support. So pray that God will lay it upon the hearts of some to give financially. But also pray for our protection. And Paul, when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, pray for me that as I open my mouth, I will speak with boldness the pure and unadulterated word of God. So I appreciate prayer for power, pray for protection, and pray for provision, and pray for discernment, wisdom from the Lord.
Amen. And as you were speaking, I was watching again the film that's on your Oasis of Hope Baptist Church website, where you see footsteps or feet walking in the sand. And then as soon as you were talking about prayer, the legs in the film collapse on their knees in obvious prayer. It's a very beautiful image that you have there. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have all of your contact information. First of all, don't forget about the conference that's being held this weekend on the theme Missions God's Way at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Woodbridge, which is Dale City, Virginia. That website address for more information is firstlovepublications.org, firstlovepublications.org. Scroll all the way down to the very bottom of the page where you see more information in the middle of the screen in a rectangular box. Click on that. And that will take you to all the information that you need. Dr. Erskine Dodson is one of the speakers, along with Dr. Robert Doom, Dr. David Dickerson, and my friend Pastor Joe Jackowitz. That's this weekend, the 18th through the 20th of May. And then also, don't forget about the Oasis of Hope Baptist Church website, which is gettooasis.net. And the two in there is actually the number, not the word. gettooasis.net. Any other contact information that you care to share, Dr. Dodson?
Our commissioning church, Trinity Baptist Church, where I pastored, they are still receiving and channeling our funds. So if anyone chooses to send something to Trinity Baptist Church, if they do in terms of support, it will be for Dodson's Global Ministry as Trinity Baptist Church, 3162 Baltimore Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46218, in care of Dodson's Global Missions. If anyone wanted to, could make any contribution, and they have a lot of funds at this particular. And they are a 501c3 as well.
Great, and you can email me, and if you didn't write that down, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I'll make sure I get you that information. I want to thank you for being our guest today, brother. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want you all to remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.